through wind and storm,
wide band of the airline.
Jack Baker, a pilot for Interstate Airlines, and Ann Burton, who hopes that she will someday become an air hostess, have been forced to accompany Vic Morgan and Joe Tolliver, members of a diamond smuggling ring, on a flight in a stolen speed plane to a small and little-known island off the coast of Florida. The disappearance of Ann, Jack, and Aunt Hattie has been discovered by Jack's brother, Bobby, and Pete Peterson, co-pilot for Interstate, and they have enlisted the aid of Ann's chum, Kay Thompson, who is an air hostess on the same line. The three find a trail of clues that lead to the sub-basement of the Tyler Sanitarium in Springfield, owned by a Dr. Tyler, who is well known to both Ann and Kay. In the sub-basement, they find a dark room in which a shortwave radio is picking up a call from a mysterious station on an unknown frequency. They recognize the voice of one of the crooks, Vic Morgan, as he calls the head of the ring, who is known only as Doc, for assistance. Our three friends learn from this call that Ann, Jack, Aunt Hattie, and the two gangsters are stranded on the desert island with no means of escape, and that there is a 100-mile-an-hour hurricane blowing in from the sea and is expected to hit the island by morning. Before Peter, the other two can find out the frequency of the call, they hear footsteps in the dark room and are forced to retreat from the sub-basement to avoid detection. Will they be able to learn the location of the ill-fated island in time to rescue their three friends? Listen.
Gee, I guess you were right, Peter. I did need something to eat after all. Feel better now.
Fine. Think you might be able to pick up something, Bobby, if you tried that radio again?
Oh, gosh, Peter, I tried every frequency on the dials and I can't find a carrier wave anywhere near where that must have been. I wish we'd have been able to get into that radio back there in the hospital. If I just had one squint at the way those dials were set, I could have figured it out.
Well, I'm thankful we got out of that place when we did. Whoever was in that room evidently didn't hear the door close or we'd have been in for it. But, Pete, what gets me is that I worked in that sanitarium for 4 years and never knew that there was a place like that in the sub-basement.
What gets me is that it's 10:30 right now, and that hurricane is due to strike down there around Miami in the morning. And that's over 700 miles away, and here we sit with not a chance to do anything.
Listen, Pete, how about me contacting some of the airports down there and having send planes out and see if they can find Jack and the others? Wouldn't they do that?
In a minute, Bobby, if they knew where to look. We've checked every known island and sea along the Florida coast to the Miami airport, and they say there's not one big enough to land a ship on that they haven't gone over with a fine-tooth comb today trying to find those two stolen ships.
But, Pete, we know that Ann and Jack must have landed safely, or that Vic we heard on the radio couldn't have been there.
Sure, that's possible, all right, Kay. You see, there are plenty of small coral islands around there that nobody ever sees. They're out of sight of land and not on or near any of the steamship or airline routes. Some of them are pretty close together. When enough sand washes up and fills in between them, it'll form a fairly large island that might go for a long time without anyone knowing anything about it, unless you just happen to stumble on it.
But just think of having a radio station on.
Yeah. And that Doc person, whoever he is, must be one smart guy.
Oh, somehow, Pete, I just can't see Dr. Tyler being the head of anything like this. And yet...
You've got to admit that it'll be pretty hard to have a radio station in your hospital and you not know anything about it.
I know. But Doc Tyler always seemed to be so kind and everything. It just doesn't add up, that's all.
Well, Kay, we've got to locate that outlaw radio station. So we just go on over to the hospital again and get Doc Tyler and put it up to him. If he's on the square, he'll take us down in that sub-basement, and we'll have a look at that receiving set.
And if Dr. Tyler just decides that you're not tending to your own business and won't let you?
Then we'll have a look anyway, because I'm going to go by the police station first and get a couple of husky policemen to add a little emphasis to what I have to say to Doc Tyler.
I'd like to have another look into that room. Can I go too, Pete?
You bet your life you can, Bobby, and you too, Kay. Put on that window in there by your radio outfit, Bobby, and we're off to the police station.
Gosh, Pete, we came over here to the police station so fast, I thought we might get a couple of motorcycle cops to come with us.
Yeah, we didn't get here quite that fast, Bobby. We did hurry. Right through that door there, Kay.
I didn't see it first. I was just resting my eyes here. If you're wanting to get somebody out of the clinic.
Not yet, Captain. Let me introduce Pilot Peterson of Interstate Airlines.
Oh, another pilot.
And I'm an air hostess, Miss Thompson.
And it's right glad to know you I am, Miss Thompson.
Captain, what we want is some help from your department.
We believe we've located an outlaw radio station here in Springfield and another somewhere else. And we'd like to have a couple of your men go with us to investigate the one here.
Sure, the new airplane pilots can think it the most wonderful thing to go running around trying to find
out. Oh, but, Captain, please, we haven't any time to lose. This is urgent.
Yes, Sergeant, if you please, ma'am. But look, radio stations are something that's just a little out of me line. That comes under the general heading of Department of Interior, or...
The Department of Commerce, sir. The investigations are conducted by the Federal Communications Commission.
That's just what I was going to say, me fine lad. And the reason I'd be knowing is because we've had one of the same here in the office all evening. He left here about an hour ago. Something to do with our police radio station.
Thank you. That's a break. Maybe it was an inspector for the FCC. That'd be the very fellow if we could find him. Do you happen to know his name, Sergeant?
No, I'm afraid you have me there, youngster. But sure, and we can find out in less time it takes to tell it. We'll ask the radio dispatcher. He's right over this way.
And keep quiet if he's talking alone.
Car number 41, go to corner 16th and Lake Avenue. Disturbing. Car number 41 to corner 16th Lake Avenue. Disturbing. That is all. What's up, Sergeant?
Frank. These folks are from over at Interstate Airlines, and they're after wanting to know about that radio fellow who is going over the station records this evening. Seems they have a sort of bootleg station they want to report. Do you know his name or where they can find him?
Yeah. Got it right here. Let's see. Arthur Morrison. He's registered at the Regent Hotel. It's a couple of blocks over.
Oh, I know where it is. I used to stay there.
You can use the phone here if you want.
Thanks, old man, but we'll go on over there. Come on, Kay. Come on, Bobby.
Thanks a lot, officer. And come over sometime and see my ham station, will you?
Sure, that's all you wanted to know, folks.
I think so. And thanks a million, Captain. Good night.
So it's Captain I am. And it takes airplanes and radios to get me promoted.
Here, I'll stay, Sergeant, I think.
Sir, you're not being crowded, Mr. Morrison?
Not at all, Pete. And please make that just plain art instead of Mr. Morrison. The radio inspectors work too closely with you pilots to stand on formality. Well, now, Bobby, suppose you tell me more about the transmitter. You're sure it wasn't just a receiver?
Oh, gee whiz, no, Mr. Morrison. It was a real swell outfit, but not a sign to see what the call letters might be. You know, most of the stations have them right on the panel somewhere.
But haven't the government men some way that they can check up and find out just where these illicit stations are, Mr. Morrison? You see, I've been around the Tyler Sanitarium for years. That is, before I became a hostess for Interstate Airlines a few months ago. And I never heard of them having any kind of a station there.
Yes, we have a way of locating those stations. It's much the same idea the airlines use to locate the exact position of a plane. Oh, I don't believe it'll be giving away a secret when I tell you that this seems to be in line with the reason I'm in Springfield.
You mean that the government already had a line on its phony station?
Well, Pete, I'd hardly put it that way. We've had several reports of a carrier wave being heard where there was no licensed station. But we suppose that it might be something the matter with, well, one or more of the police department's two-way radio cars. That's why I was checking up with them.
Gee, and I thought I'd log every station in the country. And this one was right under my nose, almost.
Well, here we are. And you'll be able to see for yourself in a minute, Arch.
Mr. Morrison, suppose we run into Dr. Tyler.
We're going to run into him. I'm going to talk to him.
Oh, gosh, I could lead you right to the place. Couldn't I, Pete?
Well, I'm afraid that's not the way we're going to try it first, Bobby.
Oh, Mr. Morrison, there's Dr. Tyler now.
Oh, just a minute. Dr. Tyler.
Did you wish to see me?
Dr. Tyler, I'm Arthur Morrison of the Federal Communications Commission. And this is Miss...
I believe I know, Miss Thompson.
How do you do, Kane?
Very well, Dr. Chandler. You know Miss Peterson of Interstate Airlines, of course.
Mm, I believe so. Just what was it you wanted, Mr. Morrison?
Dr. Tyler, we have reason to believe that there's an unlicensed radio station being operated in this hospital. Can you tell me anything about it?
A radio station? In this hospital? Nonsense. Surely this is some kind of a joke, isn't it, Miss Thompson?
Well, hardly, Dr. Tyler. It was hard to believe, but, well, Bobby here saw it himself.
Saw it? But I tell you, that's impossible. There's no radio station in this hospital. That's final. I've no further time for foolishness that's been made up by a little boy. Instead, you could even...
Not so fast, Doc. If you're insinuating that this youngster is telling a lie, I don't know but when I ought to take a punch at...
Wait a minute, gentlemen. If you're in earnest about this preposterous thing, you're certainly welcome to look over the Tyler Sanitarium. But a radio station. Ridiculous.
Lucky for you, you changed your mind about that. Lead the way, Bobby. We'll show Doc Tyler a few things about his own hospital. Come on, Morrison.
Well, that leads to the boiler room and the laundry. You can't move.
That's
it.
What I thought, Dr. Tyler. It seems that there have been additions.
Careful now. Watch your step.
The hospital is certainly the last place I would look for a radio station. But with all the x-ray equipment and other interference, it would certainly be a hard job to get any sort of reception.
Yeah, and that same interference might make the best kind of cover-up if you happened to use a frequency that missed them all, wouldn't it, Archie?
Yeah, it would at that, Pete.
Hit the door. Give me a hand, will you, Pete? The door is stuck or something.
Here you are, Bobby. Now, wait a minute. We're not taking any chances on monkey business. You got a flashlight, Archie?
Well, sure. Now, here it is.
I, too, have a small one. Yeah.
Okay. When I open this door, you fellas throw your light right into the room. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
There. Why, there's nothing but a washing machine over there.
Hey, there's a light switch. I'll turn it on. I know this is the same place I saw the transmitter.
But where's the radio that we heard broadcasting for help from that island? But there's nothing here but the laundry room. Pete, there's something wrong here.
Certainly there's something wrong. It's your idea. There's a radio station in the Tyler Sanitarium. Now, all of you, get out.
Gone. The entire radio station and receiver disappeared. And yet we know it was there only a short time ago. Is Dr. Tyler the mysterious doc that heads the illicit diamond syndicate? And what of Ann and her friends stranded on the desert island off the coast of Florida, with a 100-mile-an-hour hurricane shrieking its way nearer to them every hour? Will help arrive in time, or will they find a way to the mainland? There'll be plenty of thrills in the next episode of Anne of the Airlines.